We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
No.
The Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters. Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the Eurostep Podcast Network. Things aren't great at the other podcasts on the, or one of the other podcasts on the Eurostep Podcast Network right now, cruising for a bruising to get our mind off of the Milwaukee Brewers, truly, after an uninspiring trade deadline and an even less inspiring series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Let's dive into the Bucks, and I guess not talking about the Bucks team, but a lot of Bucks players on this episode. I'm joined, as always, by my refreshed co-host, Rohan Kadi. He has a lovely raspberry lemonade. Rohan, hello.
Hello. You're not actually joined as always. I'm actually Rohan's twin, who's also named Rohan.
Did I mess something up?
No. It's just a new character I'm developing.
All right. Okay. I have no idea what that's about, but we're just going to keep on.
We just unlocked a new character.
we unlocked a new character. I thought Eugene Hosutklu, who's also here, a Eurostep assistant producer, was going to be our newest crew member. Eugene did join us for another pod previously, but apparently we've got Rohan's twin here as well. So it's me and a couple of new guys on the show. But Eugene, how's it going?
It's going really great. My summer is going great. I think it's one of the best summers I've had in the last years, especially because of COVID. But it feels super nice to be here again.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad you took time out of your busy. I mean, I think, you know, if Rohan and I spent our summers like being able to wander the Greek countryside and go to other countries of Europe, I don't know how many episodes of this podcast you guys would get. So thanks, Eugene, for taking some time out of that to record with us. We're going to discuss the Greek national team. So Eugene wrote a great article on the GSPN Substack. You can find that by going to gspn.info and read it, where he really detailed a lot about the team, what's different, and what they're going to do this summer between World Cup qualifiers and Eurobasket. It's Eurobasket. I did have it right.
Yes.
There's also EuroLeague, which is different. We'll get into all of it. But real quick, before we get to the Greek team, which could feature all four Antetokounmpos, which is very exciting, we are doing another fun. It's a mailbag podcast, which we already did a mailbag podcast with our text line, but this one's different. So we are taking exactly one question from listeners, you all, the beautiful listeners of the Eurostep. If you want to text us a question, text GSPN to 31032. However, this podcast, you're really entering to be on, I don't want to hype it up too much, but a really kind of a star-studded panel. So what we did is we're reaching out to our favorite NBA podcasters and getting their biggest question about the Bucks going into next season. I won't say any names yet, but that show will drop next week. But we wanted to have one listener question in there too, the best of the best. So if you want to be among prestigious company, text GSPN to 31032 And then you'll be able to reply with your big bucks question. So good luck to everyone who sends in a question. I know we've done some mailbags, but this is big picture for next season. What's really on your mind? So looking forward to seeing all the great questions we get from listeners and from our NBA podcaster friends for that.
Yeah, for sure. Also, make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening before we get on. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, leave a like. If you're on podcast platforms, leave a rating. Yeah, all that good stuff. Thanks for supporting the network. But let's get down to what we really need to talk about. And like Ty mentioned, Eugene wrote a fantastic, fantastic article. Make sure you go read that, gspn.info, or just direct link, gspn.substack.com. You can find it there. But like Ty mentioned, we're going to be seeing some Bucks players in action. Obviously, we're going to be seeing Giannis. We're probably going to be seeing Thanasis. We could see all Alex and Kostas play. We also have some Mamu action. Where should we even start here?
I think the best place is going to be looking at the roster itself, specifically relating to the four potential Antetokounmpos. So I know, Eugene, in your article, you wrote that you thought, I think, was it 11 out of 12 spots are basically locks. So what I was interested by in this list, and I can't, you know, say I'm familiar with all of the players discussed here. We will talk about some of the non-Antetokounmpo players on the Greek team as well. But you had both Giannis, all three of Giannis, Thanasis, and Kostas as locks. So obviously, I think Giannis and Thanasis are, especially to Bucks fans, maybe the two more proven of those players. But I want to start with actually Kostas and why you have him as a lock on this team.
Yeah, I think it's because Greece doesn't have a lot of big guys right now, as it stands. He had a great year in the EuroLeague. He played for Villarban in the French League. He also played in EuroLeague, and he was very good, especially in the first round of EuroLeague. Right now, as it stands, the Bucks don't have a lot of big guys. I think he's not your traditional big guy. He doesn't have a lot of a post game, let's say. But I think they don't have a lot of options, and this is one of the reasons why he's going to be there, and primarily one of the reasons why Giannis is going to play a lot at the five, simply because they don't have a lot of bigs. Bourousis, who was a legend, a Greek basketball legend, used to play for the Greek national team, but he now retired. He was a center. So yeah, they don't have a lot of options. I think his role is going to be important, but considering the fact that Giannis can play at the five, I don't think that he's going to be playing in a very crucial moments.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that it's like he's going to be like needed as sort of like a roster option in terms of size. It's just like, and correct me if I'm wrong, the last time that he was eligible to play for EuroBasket, he did not make the roster. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, he did not. He did not, because the last EuroBasket, I think it was 2017, if I'm not mistaken. He was very young back then, and they had more options. He's coming from the best season of his career, obviously. So it's not that he's just there because they don't have a lot of options. He did play great at parts of EuroLeague. So I think it would be a very important thing for him as well to gain some experience and see if he can go to the next level.
Okay, especially like it's interesting you say that, especially when another guy who's on the roster, Giorgos Papagiannis, who has just been a dominant EuroLeague center. We talked about him, Ty, earlier this offseason, and before he was before Serge Ibaka re-signed and threw off all our plans, including that podcast. But I would assume that Papagiannis is going to be seeing a lot of the minutes at the five for the Greek national team, right?
Yeah, he's going to be the starter. Okay. I think, yeah.
So do you envision like a role for Kostas in terms of like a tertiary third level tie, tertiary center in terms of like third string center, realistically, if you want Giannis to be playing a lot of minutes at the five along with Papagiannis? So like you said, Kostas not going to be really in a featured role, but just there as depth.
Yeah, depends on the game, of course. I think especially during the group stage where they won't be seeing a lot of difficult opponents, a lot of tough opponents, I think he's going to take significant playing time as a backup center, of course. But if they progress in the tournament, I think he's not going to see a lot of minutes. But I think the way you described this, I think fits his role in the upcoming tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of forgot he's 6'10", at least listed as 6'10", a smaller than, it's basically the second biggest Antetokounmpo, right? Thanasis and Alex, at least so far, Alex a little bit shorter than that. So interesting to think. I feel like Kostas is the one I'm least familiar with in terms of all four, because obviously the only one who hasn't, I mean, Alex hasn't played yet for the Bucks, but and both went to Dominican, but at least we got to see Alex playing against the Herd in the G League. Kostas just really did not play as much. So exciting to see that a little bit. I guess let's move then to Alex, the other younger Antetokounmpo. You know, there's a lot of players fighting for that last spot. What is your thought on his prospects to make the team, just being that he is so young? Although, of course, the Antetokounmpo family now does figure very prominently into Greek basketball, and maybe we'll see the team lean into that a little bit more now that, you know, Rick Pitino is gone. Do you think, too, that Alex making it could be a signal as well that, you know, the Greek team is really kind of, as the Bucks seem to be, leaning toward favoring the Antetokounmpos?
Let's say that I would be really surprised if he makes the team. I think so they announced the 23-man roster, a preliminary roster for the upcoming tournaments and for the friendly games, the preseason games as they are known. So they also called four or five young players. He's one of the youngest players in the squad. I think it would be nice for him to add some experience and to train with his brothers and with professional players, but I really don't see him making the team. I think even from the young players that they called, he's not the best out of them. So there's a spot, realistically, there is a single spot to be taken. As you mentioned before, 11 players are pretty much locked in. So yeah, I really don't see him playing, but it will be interesting to see if they select him. I think it will be really interesting, and it would cause a lot of talk.
I have to ask, I just realized I hadn't earlier looked at the full 23-man roster, because, and we're going to dive into, you know, some of the players that you expect to figure more prominently. We have kind of a drama alert. So Panos Kalatzakis is on that roster. Yorgos is not, which I thought Yorgos, I don't know. I mean, I can't say I'm very familiar with how people look at Panos around the world, but I would have figured Yorgos getting picked in the draft, playing a little bit, showing some stuff in the G League, certainly, when he was over here, would maybe get him a spot. Were you surprised to not see him? Or is there like an injury or something that I'm missing?
I was a little surprised. I don't think he's injured, but between the two, I think Panos deserved it more. He played in Lithuania, I think, and he was very good, actually. He was on loan there. You can do that here in Europe. You can loan a player out for a season. So he actually performed very well, and therefore he's now here. I don't know why they didn't call Georgios. I think it'd be very interesting to see him. But let me tell you, I think Panos has realistic chances to be in the final roster.
So what you're saying is the Bucks did not use that pick very well.
I don't know. I don't know, actually, because the game is pretty much similar. They are twins at the end of the day. So the game and their bodies and everything is very similar. But I think his decision to stay one more season in Europe and work on his game really helped him. So he's deservedly here. I don't know if they wanted to draft the other brother and they mess it up. I don't know, because they're twins at the end of the day. But I think he deserves to be here.
Is it a Dylan Brooks, Marshawn Brooks situation where their trades are getting canceled?
Because one of my favorite tweets of all time was Network saying somebody trying to trade with the Suns, and the Suns are like, we'll give you cough Dragic, because they had Zlatan at the time as well. Or Zoran. It's not Zlatan. Zoran Dragic at the time as well. That's one of my favorite NBA brother mix-ups too. Although the Brooks guys weren't brothers. I think they were just two players named Brooks.
Yeah, they just had the same last name.
It could be. I don't know.
They just said, oh, we'll take Kalitzakis. Sure, we'll just guess. 50-50.
One more player I wanted to ask about who may not be on the team, who it was actually in the FIBA article of the roster, who apparently is a pretty promising young player, Yorgos Tanoulis, who apparently was impressive at the under-20 Euro Championship. I know he's also a big guy, so maybe that's a little more difficult with Giannis, Papianis, and Kostas all factoring in, but do you think he could have a shot as well?
He had a great season. He's considered one of the better youngsters, one of the better talents that we have right now. I don't think he has a lot of chances to be featured in the last roster.
Yeah.
He used to play for a team in my city as well before he moved to Patra. So I watched him a couple of times. But he's promising. I don't think he's going to make the final roster, but the fact that he's there and he trains with a squad is a very nice sight, and we'll see. I think he will have a nice career. We might hear his name for the NBA at some point.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if he intends to participate in the draft or anything. I'm just assuming, he's very promising.
How many of the players have you gotten to see live over there?
Most of them, because most of them play in the Greek league. So I get to see them when they travel to Thessaloniki, my city, when they play here against the teams here. So I've seen most of them. Of course, I haven't seen Giannis yet, which is very sad. And
someday,
definitely. Yeah. But I've seen most of them, 99% of them. Might actually be just Giannis that I haven't watched live.
Oh, wow. Well, saving the best for last.
Is there any shot they play in Greece at all between the qualifiers and Eurobasket this year? No, right? Because I don't think they're a host for either.
No. They will play some friendlies, though.
Oh, yeah.
Some preseason games in Athens. The Acropolis tournament is going to take place there. And a game against Spain, which is actually this Tuesday.
Now that's exciting. Do we know yet? I'm sure it'll be different, obviously, over by you versus us, but is that one where we expect ESPN to cover, or was that more for Eurobasket than that?
I think that's more for Eurobasket, yeah.
Gotcha.
But it will be covered by by ERT, who's the national broadcaster here. So it might be available online because they do stream their games sometimes.
That'd be awesome. Free. Well, definitely.
So people will be able to find it.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. So that is August 9th, which I believe is Tuesday. So it's at 7 p.m. over by you and 11 a.m. over here.
Yeah, it's 11 a.m. Central Time. Yeah.
That is going to be a fun day game. We'll definitely have to see how we can stream that. And I wonder if we could finagle a playback if it's going to be streamed somewhere. That could be interesting.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
Eugene, who do you think is going to get the final spot?
It depends if they want to choose a point guard or if they want to have another winger.
Don't pull a Jordan Tresky. Just give me an answer.
I don't know. As I said, Kalaitzakis could be a guy. Bohorivis, who's a guard and he played for Panathinaikos in the EuroLeague, is another guy. He's a guard. And maybe Lundzis or Kuzeloglu. These are the guys I would choose. But I think most likely is Bohorivis or Kalaitzakis, yeah. Well, maybe Kaselakis, who's another winger as well.
Oh, is that Leonidas?
Yes, yes.
Gotcha. It'll be interesting to see for sure. I think just based on you being more familiar with and being able to watch most of these guys live, and I think we'll probably end up running through all of the players that you highlighted as ones to watch, but who is outside of, you know, Giannis, Thanasis, the rest, kind of the most impressive either to watch or skill-wise player that you identify on this Greek team? So who, you know, if you're a Bucks fan, you're not really familiar, maybe you saw like Kalaitis play once a couple of years ago for the Grizzlies, but otherwise not familiar with most of these players, who do you think would pop the most to a typical like basketball fan?
So an obvious answer is Papagiannis. I think he has improved a lot. I think he has turned into a great center. Then you have Tyler Dorsey, who really had a great season this year with Olympiacos, and he will feature at the shooting guard position. I think he's going to be a starter most likely. And Kalathis and Sloukas are the other two guys that are going to be out there the most. Other guys that I mentioned in my article as well. But especially Papagiannis and Dorsey, I think they're going to be the most crucial players. If they play well, I think Chris has a lot of potential to do great.
It's interesting you say that. Like, obviously, the two you mentioned, Papagiannis, Tyler Dorsey, those are going to be the two with the most like NBA experience in that regard. Obviously, Yorgos drafted, played with the Kings for a while. Tyler Dorsey, who's going to be a two-way with the Mavs, just obviously with also Giannis and Thanasis, but like just aside from those two. It's funny, like you mentioned Nikolaitis, he's going to be featured. I mentioned before we started recording that I have a hot take. I'm sorry, I do not want to see Nikolaitis pound the ball like for the entire shot clock, every single possession. I've seen enough of that over the years, and I'm sick of it. I'm absolutely sick of it. Every time I see this man play basketball, I like a little part of me dies.
I feel like this is an affront to a legendary Greek player. I think Eugene.
I know, that's why I apologize for his stature.
I don't know if that's acceptable for you to say here, Rohan.
Yeah, let me tell you something about Kalathis. He can be devastating at times, okay? He's not a great scorer, not a great shooter, but he's a traditional European point guard. He will play the pick and roll. He will do what he has to do in order to create for his teammates. When his shots falls, that's always a nice thing. It doesn't happen a lot, but he's still important to the Greek team, especially because he's a good defender as well. He's a nice two-way guard. Nothing too crazy, nothing to go crazy about. I know sometimes he can be real devastating, as I said before, but he's still important for the Greek team.
I've seen over the years, sorry Ty, but like, sure, like he's a good organizer. He's a good like playmaker on the court. That's like I obviously can see that and respect that. It's just like I feel like whether it's the coaching staff or him as a player in previous years, I know we'll talk about it. But the Greek national team has really upgraded in terms of their coaching staff for this run. But they gave him too much leeway, and that's my opinion. I've watched a lot of these games over the past like decade almost. It's a lot of him. And it's just like every time he looks off Giannis, a part of me dies.
I actually, just following that, I did want to ask, you know, your thoughts. And obviously we haven't really gotten to see this group play yet, and we will starting next week. But, you know, do you expect with the new coach, who we should certainly talk about as well, that we will maybe see a better integration of Giannis? I know you also mentioned in your write-up, you know, some of the difficulties of, you know, kind of having less space, both due to the players around him and just the rules and the way that European basketball is played as well as, you know, the kind of the gather step going away. That obviously is a big deal for Giannis, you know, but even with all that said, do you expect to see maybe more Giannis featured than some of the teams in years past? Whereas Rohan says, I do think a lot of Bucks fans probably pulled their hair out watching this superstar player in the NBA, kind of not an afterthought, but certainly not featured as much as you would expect, given how good, how great we know he is.
Yeah, I think the most important thing and the most interesting thing in this EuroBasket will be to see how they actually use Giannis. In the past, it felt like there was not a lot of creativity around him and around the way they could use him. They could how they could build the game around him, and if they could do that. I think it will be really interesting to see, and it's a big challenge for the coach as well, for Dimitris Itouvis, to prove that he can actually work with a superstar like Giannis and to make sure they actually use him in a way that is very beneficial for the team, but for Giannis himself as well. I hope they find a way to utilize him in a way that they don't actually, in the way that they help him bring the game closer to his to his capabilities, to his abilities, and because in the past it felt like they were struggling getting him in rhythm, they were struggling getting him to go to his spots. I think it will be really interesting to see if they can achieve that this year.
Yeah, it just felt like in years past, we've seen the only time Giannis ever get the ball to try and create offense for himself and his teammates is if he gets the offensive rebound off a miss, or he gets the defensive rebound and brings it up the floor himself and does not pass the ball. Like he has to go and get the ball to be able to create offense and to be able to be a focal point of an offense when he's clearly the best player on the roster. This man is the best basketball player in the entire world. Like, obviously, he's the best player on the Greek national team or any national team. He would be the best player. Like, it's I don't know. Like, it's ridiculous what's happened in years past. But like you mentioned, the new coaching staff, also a member of the new coaching staff we've mentioned before, Josh Oppenheimer, an assistant with the Milwaukee Bucks and basically Giannis's personal coach, is going to be joining, or has joined, I should say, the staff of the Greek national team. And that could lead to better integration of Giannis, because obviously, you know, those two work a lot together. But it remains to be seen, which is why like the first game on Tuesday against that friendly is going to be so, so interesting, because I really, really want to see how this team plays. And it's starting to resemble, like, this team you mentioned in your article about how this team is so talented around Giannis, better than anything that's been in the past. Like, you get a legit center like Papa Giannis, who can be like a stalwart in the paint and also just like clean up boards, be a defensive monster. You get a guy who can be sort of a creator in Tyler Dorsey. And obviously you have a two-way guard in Nikolaitis, and then Giannis just being Giannis. Like, you're starting to see, like, okay, we have a lot more talent. We have a lot more creativity. We have a lot more shooting. We have a lot more defense around Giannis. That's going to probably unlock the best version of Giannis that we've seen for Greek basketball.
Yeah, and a big factor why that's a thing, it's because the guys that are around Giannis, are some of them are on their best selves. Like, if you look at Lucas, he had his best season in his career scoring wise. If you look at Dorsey, the same. If you look at Papa Giannis, the same. Everyone is in a nice spot. Then you have traditional guys that can always do some things right in Kalathis, Papanikolaou, and other guys like these. So I think that would be a very important factor for the Bucks. And of course you have a new coach, a guy that is actually proven in a European level. So yeah, I'm really excited to see this team. I think they have a lot of potential, but they will have to do a ton of work, because there are teams out there that are very greedy, that are very strong, and they should not underestimate anyone.
I was going to say, I mean, we've already, or I don't, I think they start with Spain, who Spain seems like obvious, always, every year, every competition is going to have a great team. But, you know, when you see France at some point between Gobert and Wembanyama, that's quite the duo.
And Embiid.
Huh?
Embiid.
Yeah, Embiid. I mean.
Most likely he won't be there.
It's not in time.
Yeah.
Okay, but next international competition.
Yes. In the World Cup, he will be there, most likely.
That'll be a fun one. France, Rudy Gobert is a different beast. Plus, you'll get like Sabonis, Valanciunas, and then, of course, Jokic when we see Serbia. Jokic is going to be there. Unfortunately, I just saw, actually, a couple of the freshly drafted Serbian players won't make it, which is unfortunate. Their teams did not allow them, which is a little surprising. I think one of them, one was hurt, I believe, right?
So I think it's Jovic and Poku, the two guys that were not given permission to play, which I think is not very nice, considering they had an opportunity to feature in a very good Serbian team. They could really benefit out of that, but the teams, for some reason, didn't give permission. I don't get it. I don't think it's fair. But Serbia will be without Bogdanovic as well.
Yeah, who got injured there. Yeah.
But they still have a very tough squad.
Wait,
they have
which one?
Bogdan. Serbia. Bogdan, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Bojan plays
Bojan
for
is Croatian.
Croatia, yeah.
Oh,
Croatia,
yes.
Yeah, that was I thought they were brothers when I first learned about them, and then I looked it up one day, and it's like, oh, they are literally not even from the same country.
No.
Yeah.
I always get it mixed up. Which one?
Croatia is in Greece's group, so he's probably going to face Giannis. But Serbia have a very, very tough squad. In fact, they are my other team to watch. I think they have the potential to go to the end. They have Jokic, of course, but they have other EuroLeague legends. Misic and Kalinic are always very tough. They have Bielica. They have Teodosic, who is old, but he's still...
He can still play, mate.
It's just a squad, man. When you consider they're going to be without Bogdan plus the two young guys, and they still have that many players.
They
plus
still have a very tough team.
Jokic at the center of it all. I do think it'll be for the Greek team's benefit to have the true center next to Giannis, just going up against all of those big guys. I mean, we've seen Giannis can excel anywhere, but you know, even if the spacing isn't ideal, especially in European ball with Papagiannis out there with him, I think defensively, they're going to look to be pretty formidable with those two guys. I guess assuming they start at the 4 and 5, which would make sense to me. We'll see, you know, how Thanasis factors into the starting lineup. Maybe he's a reserve. Not really sure how they've used him in the past. But Giannis and Papagiannis, although the name thing just makes it, you know, makes it sound almost like some sort of a bad lead into a joke. I do think that's going to be a really fun 4 or 5 for this Greek team.
Yeah, definitely.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You also, I don't think we mentioned Luka. He's gonna be there, Slovenia. Like you mentioned in your article, Eugene, like Giannis, Jokic, Luka, these are some like top 10, ten at least.
Slovenia is
top five basketball players in the world?
Definitely.
So it's ridiculous amount of competition. Giannis is gonna have some competition out there. Like he's obviously the best one, but people are gonna be coming for his title. Like Luka's a guy who wants to prove it on the biggest stage for his country. Like Jokic is a guy who wants to prove it on the biggest stage for his country. Obviously, Giannis does as well. Like these are all three super, super, uber talented players who are just want to show out for their country. Like they all take the national teams ever so seriously. All of these guys do. So it's going to be a very, very, very fun Eurobasket competition. I'm very excited. I've been excited for this since the season ended.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Slovenia are the reigning champions, and they will be looking to keep their title. And they have a strong squad as well. They have Luka. They have Dragic, of course. They are a very tough team, and they have a lot of good role players around Luka. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the way I remember them playing last time is just, it felt like a team that sort of had Spain-esque chemistry where it's just like everyone knew exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah.
How to fit around each other, how to fit around the stars. And they just, it was perfect cohesion between them. Like Slovenia is like you mentioned, reigning champs. You don't want to mess.
Yeah. Exactly as you described it, they are a team that have Luka as their star. They obviously have Dragic. They don't have a lot of stars around them, but they are a very good role players. They know what they have to do, and yeah, they can kill you in their day. They are very dangerous.
For sure.
I'm checking now. So let's run through the teams that the Bucks actually play real quick while we're doing a little bit of opposition intel.
Greece, yeah.
Eugene did it too earlier. In fairness,
I did it too.
We've all did I.
Yeah. We're so used to saying Bucks, Bucks, Bucks. Is it? I think I've got the correct roster. I'm a little surprised. I don't recognize that many players on the Spanish team. So that's who I almost said Milwaukee this time. That's who Greece will play first. So maybe not as difficult as you would typically expect to see for the World Cup roster. Or am I not looking correctly here?
No, it's not the traditional Spanish power that it used to be in the past, but they still have a tough roster. You know, most of the guys there are EuroLeague players. Then you have the Juan Gomez brothers.
So we do get the movie star. I wasn't sure if he was on the team or not. That's fun.
Yeah. But they are still a traditional power. You know, you can never underestimate Spain.
It's like the Spurs.
Yeah,
exactly.
Before 2 years ago.
Exactly.
And then so after that, they play Spain twice to kick off. So that's the one starting next week. They play Spain. These are the friendlies. So these are not actual World Cup qualifiers, just kind of tuning up. Then I believe the whole Acropolis tournament is also friendlies, not ranked games.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's Poland, Georgia, and Turkey.
Yeah, so we'll get to see Mamu versus Giannis.
That's exciting. And Ersan?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Where did he play this season? Did he play?
Did he play overseas?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
No one knows where Ersan is. I'll try and look that up here. He last played for Utah.
Oh, yeah, he played for the Bulls and then Utah, right?
But this was last season.
Yeah, that was two seasons ago now, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe not Ersan.
I don't know, but I haven't seen their roster, to be honest with you. He might be there. I can check it out now. I don't think they have announced it yet.
I'm guessing we probably won't recognize too many players with Bucks ties on Poland's team, but that should be a game that Greece performs well in. I would imagine.
Yeah. I don't think they have a lot of star players there. And
we will see. Oh, actually, the Turkey team is funky. Jetty Osman and Şengün.
They have a good team.
Korkmaz. Yeah, that's a That's a squad.
Saying Larkin.
You can't say Omer Yurtseven and say they have a squad. Come on, man.
Yurtseven was like the fourth name I said.
I know.
Fair. That's fair. You know what?
You said they have a squad for Slovenia and Serbia. You can't include freaking Omer Yurtseven and say they have a squad.
Hey, just wait until he's in a KD trade, man. You'll see. You'll see the light on Omer.
How does he get to play, but Jovic doesn't?
I think that shows you how the Miami Heat prioritize those two young players. Also, I do think Jovic missed some of Summer League with an injury. So they could at least say they're being precautionary, even if he's probably feeling better. It's been like a month.
But yeah, whatever. Yeah. Who knows what the Heat do nowadays?
Yeah. And then other teams that Greece will for sure play. Serbia, which we already outlined, that's going to be a hell of a game. That maybe the one to circle on the calendar, at least that we know about. And then Belgium, which probably less so.
But yeah, yeah.
I know you wrote here that if they win both, then World Cup is looking really good. Are there scenarios where they can lose to Serbia and still make the World Cup?
Yeah, look, Serbia is considered one of the favorites in the group, in the World Cup qualifier group, but they have a record of 1-3, so they have 3 losses and 1 win. Greece has 3 wins and 1 loss, and that's mainly because during the World Cup qualifiers windows, most of the stars don't play. So Jokic wasn't there, for example. So the team is not as strong in the windows where they play the qualifiers. So yeah, if they manage to beat Serbia and they play in Serbia as well, which is going to be very interesting. The atmosphere is going to be great. If they win Serbia and if they win Belgium and they improve the record to 5-1, I don't think it will be very difficult for them to not qualify. So even if they lose from Serbia, they still have good chances, since I think the 3 top teams in the group qualify.
So how many games are there in total?
So I think it's now game day 7 and 8. I think there are still to be played 6 games. So these 2 and 4 more later in 2022, but I don't exactly remember when.
There's this window. Each window is 9 days long. There's also one in November. So that one we probably, again, won't see stars for, because that is NBA season. And then finally in February 2023. So it'll be, these will be the only qualifier games then, at least the only ones left, where we will see the Giannis's, the Jokic's, et cetera. So, it would certainly be nice if Giannis could help Greece bank 2 wins, but even getting 1, they should have a pretty good shot then, like you said, of making sure they get to that World Cup.
Yeah, they do. Because the competition is not that it's not that great. I think they have great chances.
And then after those World Cup qualifiers, then it's the big tourney. We got finally Eurobasket will arrive. Is September 18th, right? It starts
September
1st.
Yeah.
Yes. It ends on the.
Greece plays their first game in the September 2nd, I think. September 2nd, yeah.
September 2nd. Beginning of September is when Eurobasket starts.
Before we even go deeper in here, I just want Eugene, if you could explain to listeners the importance of Eurobasket, because I think American sports in general, we're not great at 1, international tournaments outside of the Olympics, and 2, just understanding, it's not an NBA thing, it's not the Olympics, it's just kind of in between. So we'd just love you to kind of speak to what is Eurobasket and why, why is it so important to these players and fans?
It is very important. In fact, Eurobasket was one of the main reasons why Greece began to really love basketball at first place. In 1987, I think it was, Greece won the Eurobasket. And that was a very significant moment, because after then, basketball became a huge part for Greek people, and they really fell in love with basketball. This was mainly the period where every house started having like hoops, and Europeans take a lot of pride in winning the EuroBasket. It's a big deal for us. It's a very important tournament. So yeah, I think it's not as important as the Olympics, of course, but it's still a very big deal for us.
Looking to medal for the first time in the Giannis era of the team. So you spelled him out here. I'm not going to pretend like I knew this coming in. But as you mentioned, they won EuroBasket in 87 and then 2005, silver medal in 89, and then bronze medals in 2009 and 1949, which is a long way. But you can kind of see there pretty much, right, like two cores, 87 and 89, and then 05 and 09. So would be awesome if, you know, this could be a year that Greece kind of starts another era like that. So EuroBasket, and Rohan, do you have any, I know you were leading in when I rudely interrupted you to go into EuroBasket in general. What were your thoughts, or what were you going to come in with?
I was just going to explain like the format of the tournament. Yeah. So I'm glad you did that. So like Eugene laid out here, it's a group stage sort of format. There's groups, and then once you advance past your group, you move into a single elimination tournament. In Greece's group, we have the Czech Republic. Czech Republic, Georgia, Germany, and Italy. Sorry, my brain's working faster than my mouth. In the actual group for Greece, it's going to be Ukraine, Great Britain, Estonia, Italy, and Croatia, who are in the group. You have to be one of the top four teams in each group to progress past the group stage. And that is determined via points based on you play everyone in your group. If you're familiar like with tournaments and sort of like a World Cup style Olympic competition, it's the same sort of format. Once you advance past the group stage, like I mentioned, you'll go into a single elimination tournament where it's just like, you know, you got to win them all and to win gold. So it's going to be interesting to see how Greece comes out of there. In this current group, Greece has to be the favorite, right?
Yeah, they are. They definitely are.
Like, obviously, like, other teams have had better teams in the past. Like, Italy's had solid teams in the past. We talked about Croatia. They're not even going to have Bojan.
They have Bojan. I think Bogdan is the one who's out. Yeah.
I'm just going to stop.
No. I think Italy and Croatia will be the main competitors for the group. But I think, Greece is a favorite. And I'll be really surprised if they don't end up first. But it's basketball. You never know. They might actually not play well and some other team ends up first. But I think they have the best chances to be first, yeah.
Apologies to our guy Maggio.
You've got to imagine, I mean, even if they're not first, you would think getting out of this group should be, you know, you don't want to say easy, but very, very attainable, right? You only have to finish top four, which means even if Italy and Croatia were somehow better, Greece just needs to beat out two of Estonia, Ukraine, and Great Britain. And no disrespect to any of those countries, but I would not expect their basketball squads to really compare that strongly to the other ones here.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to qualify for sure to the next round, but first place is going to be very important in this group, because in the next round they will be playing the teams that will qualify from Serbia's group, which is Group D, if I'm not mistaken. So you don't want to end up third or fourth, and play with Serbia, who are most likely will end up first in their group. So you really want to avoid them in the first round.
Great Britain has not announced the roster yet. Croatia, certainly not a slouch between Bojan, Hazonia, Ivica Zubac is, I think, a good player. They got Saric as well. I thought that said Pekovic. That's Perkovic, different player. That was going to surprise me a bit. But certainly, I think that I would expect them to maybe be the biggest competition. But you never know. Yeah, Italy with Gallo could be a challenge as well. Yeah. Luigi Datome. I remember his name from somewhere.
We've watched a lot of international basketball time.
NBA. I think he was on a team for maybe part of a season. They also have Nicolò Melli and Nico Manni and a couple guys on Team Italy who have come over to the States. But
oh, he played for the Pistons and Celtics for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so then, I think the Group D matchups will be interesting. That one is, they kind of gave Serbia, I think, a real leg up with their group stage. It's them, the Netherlands, Finland, Poland, the Czech Republic, and Israel. You've got to imagine Serbia might not lose a game at all there.
Yeah. I think first place is locked there.
And then Group B is Germany, Hungary, Slovenia, Lithuania, France, and another country, BJH.
Hungary?
It's B. It's like BNH. It's Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a very tough group.
Yeah, that's a tough group for sure. And then Group A is Montenegro, Georgia, Spain, Bulgaria, Belgium, and Turkey. So Mamu's going to have his work cut out for him with Spain and Turkey. But yeah, I think Georgia will have a pretty solid shot of advancing at least to the knockout stage here.
Yeah. They could definitely progress. Fourth place is wide open.
It's so funny. It's just like there's six teams in a group and just two don't advance. Like that just, it feels so bad if you don't advance past the group stage. Like it's gotta feel terrible, right?
Yeah, I assume it has to. It definitely has to.
So
you gotta rethink your entire basketball structure if that happens.
So Greece is in C and Serbia is in D. So C1. So if you win C, you get to play D4, which is certainly a big deal. But if you come in second in C, that's when you could end up seeing D1 earlier than the semifinals. So yeah, certainly winning Group C would be a big deal for Greece, as you outlined previously.
Yeah. It will definitely be. It's very important. Winning the first place is very important. They shouldn't take it lightly and say, we can progress. It's very easy to progress. No, you have to win the first place.
Yeah. Well, good thing their guy once said, don't play with our food.
Well, you look at, so the only one you would see if you win your group is A1. So assuming Spain, but who knows? Whereas if Greece comes in second, they could end up seeing the winner of D or B, or both. So that's, Slovenia and Serbia having to get through both to get to the finals. That is certainly not an easy path.
No,
not at all.
No.
So excitement wise, what matchup are you most excited for? And I'm assuming that it's Eurobasket over World Cup qualifiers, just because qualifiers is only a couple of games and one of them is not as competitive as the other, although the Spain game should be a good one to watch, or the Serbia game, excuse me.
Yeah, I think this game, the game against Serbia, is going to be very interesting because we are going to see how strong Serbia really is, and it's going to be very significant in seeing how Greece is going to play against tough teams, see if they utilize Giannis and see how they act under pressure. Especially when you have a guy against Jokic and seeing how they decide to defend against him is also going to be very important. So yeah, I think I'm excited for every matchup, honestly, because we haven't watched the Greek national team in a while. But definitely when guys are like Jokic or Luka are involved, I'm all in for.
100%. Do you think, what kind of role do you think, and I can't believe Rohan didn't work this question in earlier. What kind of role do you think Thanasis will have?
I was getting to it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, you ask then. You ask it your way.
I mean, it's already been asked.
This is how I assume you would ask it. So is Thanasis going to be the first option or the second option for the Greek national team? Is what the question I assumed you would work in within 5 minutes. So I'm proud of you for restraining yourself, Rohan.
It's okay. I'm his twin, remember?
That's right.
I don't know. Depends on him, how quickly he's going to be fouled out. I don't know. The thing about Thanasis, people love him here in Greece, especially in the Greek team, because he is gritty, he brings energy. They call him Thanasis the elevator Adetokounmpo. Yeah.
There's big merch potential there. There's big merch potential with Thanasis the elevator. I will say that.
It is. So it's a Greek journalist, Vangelis Ioannou, who is the spokesperson for the Greek Games, and he came up with that, and it's been like his national team nickname. But I think he's going to have an important role. I've seen him improve with the backs. I think he's a different player compared to when he left from Europe. Hopefully, he helps the team in the way that he can by bringing the energy, by cutting to the basket. I think he can be very, very helpful, especially defensively.
Yeah, especially like in this sort of competition where it's a lot more physical. I don't want to say get away with, but like obviously there's one less foul, but you can probably, he's probably going to not have be called for as many fouls. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. In theory, yes. It's
as long as he doesn't hack guys trying to chase him down.
Yeah, exactly. I think he can, as you mentioned, get away with some fouls. He was physical when he was in Europe. And I think this environment is closer to what he used to play in Greece, in Panathinaikos and in EuroLeague, so he'll be more familiar with the physicality here. So I don't think he's going to be called for a lot of fouls, but you know, at the end of the day, it's Thanasis. He always is going to hack some guys. He will.
It's called foul. Not giving up on a play. That's what it's called. It's not called hacking.
Yeah.
Setting the tone. So go ahead.
No. I was going to mention again that I love DA. You can go on.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see. I hope we get some lineups, too, with multiple of the Antetokounmpos. I think that's always fun to see when they get to play together. Any idea, or at least what you would think or what you would like to see for the starting five?
That's what I was going to ask you.
So, you know, maybe the four players you highlighted and Giannis, or do you see someone else potentially sliding in?
Yeah, I think it's going to be something between the lines of Kalafis at the point guard position and Dorsey at the shooting guard. At small forward position, I think Papanikolaou is going to start. I didn't mention him, but
yeah, Sloukas was the other one that you...
Sloukas is going to be the backup shooting guard, the backup guard in general. He plays both positions. At number four, Giannis, of course, and Papagiannis at the five. I think this is going to be the starting lineup. We'll see when the friendly start.
What's the quick breakdown on Papanikolaou?
Very experienced guy. Used to play in the NBA as well, in the Rockets, if I'm not mistaken. Right. Yeah.
He's slow nowadays, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not the most athletic guy. He's the definition of a 3-and-D guy, basically. He plays some nice defense. He's experienced with the Greek team. He's been with the Greek team for many years. He's a good worker, a guy that you want to have in your squad. He does. He basically defends and. Yeah, he's a shooting threat.
He played a year for the Rockets and then a year for the Nuggets as well, actually, back in 14-15 and 15-16 in the NBA. So still just 32, but maybe the Greek slow-mo, according to Rohan, anyway.
It's just, like, that's not even like in jest or anything. Like, from what I remember from watching him with the Greek national team, it's just like he's, like you mentioned, the experience helps in terms of like he knows how to play off of other guys really well. He's not going to be like a Nick Kalathis and just pound the ball or whatever.
No,
your
no.
Hatred for Kalathis seeps through the screen.
I just don't like it.
Look, this lineup is not going to be quick, is not going to be very athletic. Okay, when you have Giannis in your lineup, it is pretty much, it's very athletic. But we have Kalathis, who is not the quickest player in planet Earth. When you have Papanikolaou, when you have Papagiannis and Giannis in the lineup, it's not going to be the quickest lineup. It's also not going to be the most athletic lineup. But they can do some things right. Defense is their number one priority. It has always been with Greece. And I think that if they're going to win a medal this year, they're going to do it through defense first. And that's what they are betting on. That's their strong...
strong suit?
Bar. Yeah, yeah.
So I think, Rohan, I have something left, but do you have any last questions on the Greek team here before we wrap?
Where do you realistically see them finishing?
I was gonna really press him more and say, is this a year for gold or what? But yeah, that was what I was thinking as well.
Okay, it's definitely the year where it seems most possible for Greece to win something. But because there are very good teams out there and teams that are really strong, and I think it's going to be a very competitive tournament in general. I wouldn't say I'm sure they're going to win something. No, it's going to be tough to win even a bronze medal. They have to be at the top of their game every night in order to win something. We still have to see how they operate under the new coach, how they work with each other. I'm hopeful. I think they have good chances, realistically speaking. But I want to be down to earth about it. They should be as well. And they should look at each game separately. But yeah. They have chances, but they have to work really, really hard. Nothing is given.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll really start in the group stage, you know, getting that one spot and giving themselves a better chance, later, or at least an easier path later on to a top finish. Certainly, I think almost all Bucks fans, I would imagine, are going to be rooting for Greece above all teams, probably some for Georgia as well. Are we missing any Bucks players in EuroBasket this year?
No, I don't think there's anyone else.
It's just the three.
Yeah. They don't have many Europeans in general right now.
And old friend of the Bucks. I'm actually blanking on the player's name. The point guard that we loved for...
Luka.
What?
Yeah, no, Luka Vildoza.
Oh!
He's Argentinian, I think.
Yeah.
Is he on a team? Is he on there? Are they in?
Argentina is not.
I always do that. I almost asked about Wara too. Sometimes I confuse Europe and the rest of the world, which is a very American thing to say.
No worries.
Is he Serge suiting up for the Congo?
Is Serge play for the Congo?
No, I think Serge used to play for Spain, actually.
I was going
to
say, I thought he played for Spain, but I don't think he's on this team. I don't think
he's not. Yeah. He's not.
I forgot about that.
So I win the Serge point. I okay. Definitely lose the Luka Vildoza point, though. That one I will take the L on. Yeah, I think that's all the questions I had then. I mean, I think I feel a lot more ready now to watch. I didn't remember a ton about the Greek team from tuning in a little bit last time, but I feel like I'm going to watch a lot more this year. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway is like this is a real squad. Like there's no Ersatz players here. Like this is real basketball team that they got going on here. So I'm excited to see how Greece performs.
Yeah, I think everyone's excited here in Greece. We were expecting this tournament a long time, and it's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, well, and we'll have you covered here all over at the Eurostep Podcast Network. Thank you, Eugene. Everyone, make sure you go read his article. It's on our Substack, gspn.info. Click the Substack link. You'll find it right there. Make sure you check that out. Give it a read. Make sure you follow Eugene on Twitter, by the way. It's on screen. Go check that out. Make sure you follow him. He's going to be very tuned in. He's our sideline reporter for Eurobasket.
Yeah, yeah. I will definitely be.
And we'll have him back on the show to talk more as we get to watch some more of these games. The Twitter is at Eugene Horsu, so EugeneChourSou. Go follow Eugene. Let's get Eugene a million subscribers. There's Giannis Thanasis, Greek team. And then, like, you know, he's bowling. He's all over the place. So great follow on Twitter.
Join the life. Wearing GSPN merch wherever he goes.
Yeah.
GSPN.store.com. But yeah, thank you.
Go buy your GSPN merch, guys. It's great.
Thank you. But yeah, thank you everyone for listening. Ty, we have to wrap the show up.
We do. We have a review.
Yeah, we're not there yet, buddy.
You're talking Choose Your Fighter? Is it my turn?
It is.
All right. Well, I wasn't a good Eurostepper. I didn't have anything prepared, but I did think of one during the episode. So we can include Eugene on this too. If you got to be a player for your national team. So Rohan, I remember you were trying to like parachute into Nepal and qualify for their team. For me, it would be US. It would be very difficult. Maybe I can trace some lineage back and get Germany. That seems slightly more realistic, but not very realistic. And Eugene, obviously, for Team Greece. What position would you want to play? And I'll just say guard, wing, or big. And just assume if you say big, you grow to 6'11", right? Don't factor in your current height. But what position would you like to play most for your team in international competition?
I'm a guard, 100%.
You would.
What is that supposed to mean?
Ball in your hands, young guy, flash.
I was going to say two. I was going to say a two guard, not even a point guard.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it would be a big.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love centers for some reason. Yeah, never mind.
Adam McGee is all in on this now, if he ever listens to this podcast. I think big as well. And especially, I feel like for international competitions, I feel like the big guys are even more important. Like dominating the paint matters even more than in the NBA, when obviously there's more of a focus on spacing and ball handling. I think being the big guy would just be awesome. So I'm with Eugene. No one said wing, which is funny because that's like the in vogue position now. But we've got Rohan handling. We got Twin Towers over here, me and Eugene. So we're all set to dominate, just like Team Greece, hopefully.
Yeah, good Choose Your Fighter tie on the fly.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Last time Eugene was on, we had the sparkling water.
Oh man, I forgot about. I'm glad. Imagine I say wing and Eugene just roasts me for 10 minutes on and off pod. Who wants to be a wing? No one.
Who wants to be a wing?
You said we have a review. What's the review?
Yeah, it's unhinged. It is five stars, so I'm going to read it. It's from Snoozy Poo via Apple in the U.S. Five stars, of course. If you want your review read, leave that review on Apple or utilize our review form, the Discord form, gspn.info, or if you leave it on Apple, we'll just find it. But we will read a five-star review. The subject is a great way to ignore my grandchildren. And here's the review. I'm just going to try and get through it all in one go here because I don't know if I'll make it through if I take a break to start laughing. These boys bring joy to my life while I have to watch my wretched grandchildren. They yip and yap from the back seat and I yell at them to quiet down while I listen to my Bucks news. Jordan Trash Key is my favorite because he is calm and collected throughout the podcast. Rohan reminds me too much of the grandchildren I'm trying to ignore.
What?
Especially since they also don't want to bring Joe Ingles on board. Blah, blah, blah. Adam Magoo is Irish, which reminds me of the rolling green hills of my deepest dreams. Ty Windish in six reminds me of the butcher down the block who gives me his scraps of goat liver for my ducks. Thanks, gentlemen. Just make it longer, please.
What? Is that a callback to the other review where you...
I have been a butcher before, right?
Yeah.
I think that's not new. I think that is a call. I think there's a few callbacks in here. And I think really just performance art via review. I think that is something. So thank you, Snoozy Poo, for the truly unhinged, but appreciated nonetheless.
No, that's an epic review. I'm sorry I remind you of the grandchildren, but hey, you're listening to this, so you must like me somewhat. That is awesome. That is a great review.
That was great.
Yeah. Hopefully, next time, we need an update, maybe on the Cruising for a Bruising feed. We need your thoughts on Andrew Snyder and Eugene as well. I'm sure we can get even more more analogies, comparisons, everything else for the rest of our GSPN personalities.
I'm going to need to think through this for the rest of the day. So thank you for that review. Appreciate it. And let's wrap this up. Thank you for listening to this episode of the USF here on the USF Podcast Network. Thank you to Eugene for joining us. Make sure you check out that article. Like I mentioned, all our links, gspn.info. You can find everything you want there. Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening to this, watching this. Leave a rating so you can have it read. But yeah, pod random, and we'll talk to you next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.